Are you longing for stillness and peace? On today's Believer's Voice of Victory with Kenneth Copeland and Jeremy Pearsons, find out how to get out of the chaos of the world and into rest in God and His blessing. Now, here's Kenneth.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Father, we thank you for this broadcast today, and we give you all of the praise and the worship, Lord. We thank you so much. And it is our endeavor to bring glory to your name. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jeremy, let's get back as close as we can to where we left off yesterday. In fact, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's go back over here to Deuteronomy 30. Mm-hmm. Where the word says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose, or the understood subject there is you, you choose life that both you and your seed may live, that you may love the Lord thy God, and that you may obey His voice, and that you may cleave unto Him, for He is your life, He is the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto our fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what is so powerful about that. Jesus was made a curse for us. Mm-hmm. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That so that we might receive the promise that God made to Abraham, that the Gentiles, the ones that were outside that covenant, God blessed Noah and his sons. Well, only one, Seth, only one of the sons kept that and walked in that blessing covenant that he made with them. Ham and Japheth did the same thing Adam did. They just blew it away. Mm-hmm. And all kinds of bad things came because of that. But you're either kin to Seth, Ham, or Japheth, or all three of them. I mean, it all goes back to that moment. Mm-hmm. So Jesus provided the blessing of Abraham to the rest of us. Mm-hmm. So now then, when you inquire of the Lord about what God promised to Abraham, it belongs to me. Mm-hmm. So that when I go to the Lord, that belongs to me. This is mine. And I see it in the Word, and I lay hold of it. And, you know, we like to use the word, I claim that. I stake my claim on that. Well, that's a scriptural thing to do that. But I'm actually laying hold of what is mine in Christ Jesus through the covenant of His blood.
Yeah.
The main point for me to grasp what we were talking about yesterday, this dividing line, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The thief comes, he doesn't come for anything except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, the godly habit of inquiring of the Lord, oh, Lord, I don't ask Jesus. I read here that He was born of a virgin. Mm-hmm. I don't ask Him if He's born of a virgin. I already know that. I got that in the Word. Mm-hmm. But I can ask Him, why you was born of a virgin, when you were born of a virgin, where you were born of a virgin, why were you born of a virgin? I'm inquiring of the Lord, but you're born of a virgin. Now, that's a statement of faith. But I go in there now and I'm inquiring of Him. Mm-hmm. So I say, and He'll lead me through the Word to show me and train me these things. But then it comes down to daily life. I inquire of you, sir, what am I to do about this? You know, you can change your whole life by just hearing, wait a few minutes. Mm-hmm. You might have missed a car wreck that had wiped out the whole family just by being in a hurry and not paying any attention to what he said. I heard it one day, pull over to the side of the road. Well, I had inquired of the Lord before I ever made the trip. I just pulled over and stopped. I sat there for probably 10 minutes. Nothing happened. Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of crazy. Well, now, I don't know what would have happened in another hour from now. That in that 10 minutes time, something was out of phase that I needed not to experience.
Sure. Well, let's say, for example, though, the Lord had spoken to you and said, pull over now, but you didn't do it. And you were to drive on and there was a tremendous wreck and something happened and, man, Brother Copeland was in a wreck. But I thought he believed in Psalm 91. I thought he believed in protection. I thought he believed in the blood. Well, he does. How was God endeavoring to protect you?
I just don't understand why that happened to Brother Copeland.
Yeah.
Well, that's...
His protection came to you when he said, pull over. There are people that are... They've seen in the Word that healing is a promise to them and for them, and I lay claim of my healing. I lay hold of my healing. Healing belongs to me. And the Lord says, yes, it does. Cut out processed sugars. Well, then it's healing coming to you, but if you don't hear
the voice... Get thee behind me, Satan.
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's not right.
Or he'll say, healing belongs to you. Rest more. Well, this is the voice of the Lord coming to you, answering the prayer, making good on His Word, but maybe he's doing it in a way that you didn't expect or a way that you didn't see coming. But here's what we've got to realize. Every choice is a life or death choice. Now, maybe not every choice is the difference between being alive or being dead, but we've already established that's not what life and death is. Every choice is either got the life of God in it or it's got the absence of the life of God.
There it is right there. We just read it, didn't we?
Yeah.
Jeremy, that is impacting when you realize that. Man, talk about that some more. That's outstanding, man.
You hear that and you think, well, yeah, every choice, every big decision, where do we go, where do we live, what do we do? I'm talking about every choice. What you put on, what you dress yourself in, where you park your car. I've got proof of that. I shared this with you some weeks ago, but Sarah and I were driving around in a parking lot one day looking for a close place to park, you know, and we didn't see one. So, and we have this thing that when we drive into a parking lot, Lord, get us a good one, Lord. but there was nothing close, so we just driving along. We found a good place to park, and it was, you know, kind of far back, but it was available. And as soon as we pulled into this spot, I'm here in the driver's seat, and I noticed that the guy just sitting in a parked car next to me, his window's down, he's got tubes in his nose, and I immediately catches my attention because I get out of the car, and he says to me, he said, will you get in the back seat of my car and see if you can find an air tank? Sure. So I'm digging around in this guy's car looking for this tank of air to plug in so he can breathe. And right away, I know something's up. Lord, I'm parked in the right place today. And got him all set up, and I said, man, what's your name? I'm John. John, what can I pray with you about today? And he's like, well, I guess this whole breathing thing and all that. And instead of walking away saying, well, I'll be in prayer with you, brother, I grabbed that man's hand, and I said, Father, thank you for filling my brother John with the breath of God and the life of God. I thank you, Lord, that from this day forward, he begins to breathe easy in your prayer. I parked in the right place, man. There was life in the choice to park there. There was life in that. And there is every choice, every decision is a life or death decision. Every person we choose to speak with and the way we choose to speak with them, you are either ministering life or the absence of it. to them. Every single decision we make is a life and death decision. If we begin to learn to approach life like that, to limit ourselves, which is really no limitation at all, but being limited to the leading of the Spirit of God, I will not make a move until I hear Him speak. And we do the same thing that Jesus did, and He did it to set an example for us. He said, I don't say anything unless I hear the Father say.
I only say. Isn't that strong?
Yeah.
I only say what I hear my Father say.
So what He was saying is this, I'm a witness. I am a witness to the will of the Father. So I'm going to say what I heard Him say. I'm going to do what I saw Him do. That's what a witness testifies of, what they saw, what they heard. And that's the kind of life that you and I have been called to live, because that is the only life that's connected to the abundant life.
It is.
You can't, just that you can't separate John 10:10 from the rest of the chapter, you can't separate, which the rest of the chapter is, my sheep know my voice, you can't separate the hearing of the voice of God, doing what He says do, and the abundant life that's waiting on the other end.
You know where the mistakes are made? Are in the little things. And they compound. Mm. They don't seem like they're important decisions. But you can make four or five little decisions not inquiring of the Lord, and one by one by one by one by one, they'll set you off on a course that you can't figure out how you got there, man. Something fouled up happens. Well, when you learn to practice it all the time, practice hearing the voice of the Lord. I was in over here in Mark 11, and Jeremy, I've been studying the 11th chapter of Mark for 45 and a half years, man, because that's where I first heard about it. And I was in here reading this and spending some time in it, meditating each one of these scriptures, just gleaning from it and stuff. My practice is to read a chapter a day. Mm-hmm. Now, I may be studying something else entirely, but I read my chapter every day. Very seldom will I just keep reading through that unless the Lord instructs me to for some reason or another. I read that chapter, and then I go ahead and read the other things that I desire to read. If He does take me through two or three chapters here, I'll come back then and meditate those and see. Mm-hmm. But I don't let a day go by. I don't read my chapter that day. Mm-hmm. Well, and I got into this 11th chapter of Mark. And as I was reading down through here, I saw and heard the Lord point this out to me. I really studied for years Mark 11, 20, 2, 3, 4, and 5. But then over here, in the 11th verse, Jesus entered into Jerusalem, into the temple, and when He had looked round about upon all things, now the evening was come, He went out unto Bethany with the 12. He spent all day in there and didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. Jeremy, I read over that and by that and around that and over it and under it and didn't pay attention to it. It just seemed like it was there just to hold the other verses up or something. I wasn't paying any attention to that. And the Lord yanked me back that morning. And He said, read that again. I went back in here. And He caused me to think this. Well, don't you know they were acting just as ugly in there that day as they were the next day when He ran everybody out of there? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you know them. It seems like in that verse, they didn't even know He was there. He was in there all day. He didn't say anything. He didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. He just observed. And I just spent a goodly bit there that morning thinking and meditating on that. And I said, Lord, I'm inquiring of You, sir. What is it that You would have me see today about that? He said, that's really the first step of faith. Mm-hmm. What? He said, that's really the first step of faith. He said, be still and be quiet. Listen to me. Mm-hmm. He said, the reason I didn't do anything and the reason I didn't say anything is because I didn't hear my father say anything and I didn't see him do anything.
Yeah.
So I went on back to Bethany and spent the night. Now, what do you think I did all night long? And I thought, oh, man, yeah, that's the first step of faith. Find out what the Father wants said. Find out what he wants done.
Yeah.
And
don't make something else
Don't
up.
Make something up or add a bunch of stuff
yeah.
to it.
Yeah.
And then the next day when he went in there, man, he was strong to do what he had heard and what he had seen.
Yeah.
So then he took me right down then into that 23rd verse, and he started out with the 14th verse talking to that fig tree. And he said, did you notice I only said 9 words to that tree? Well, no, I'd never noticed that. I went back in there and counted them. Now he said, look over here, I said in the 23rd verse, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. Stop right there. And shall not doubt. No, he said, I didn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that is a condition, but I didn't say that to the mountain. I've always added all the rest of that verse. And, but that's all he said say to that mountain. Mm-hmm. And it's 9 words.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked. 40 years I've seen that. But I'm still growing.
Sure.
Now, it wasn't particularly wrong what I was doing, but it was not right.
Precise.
Yeah.
Precise.
I can't walk in light I don't have. Mm-hmm. But now once I have that light, how did I get that light? By continually inquiring of him
yeah.
on the same scriptures, in the same thing. Well, I was preaching on that and on these same principles here then, some weeks later. Finished the meeting was several days long, and it ended at noon, and I was the last speaker. And I spoke on those very scriptures right there and the fact of what I just got through saying. Got out and got in the car, expecting to head straight to the airport and head home. Got in the car, and Mike said, he said, I just talked to Dwayne, and they got some kind of problem with the door, and so I'm just going to drive you back to the hotel. I said, no, you don't drive me back to the hotel. Drive me to the airport, man. I want to get my hands on that door. What's the matter with it? Well, I called Dwayne, and he told me, he said, I don't know what's wrong with it. He said you can unlock it, and it unlocks it, but it's caught. He said, you can't even get your fingers underneath it, and it won't open. And he said, I called the people called Cessna and so forth about fixing it and all this, that, and other, and they were talking about all the stuff they have to do to fix it, and they want to drill a hole in the thing. You ain't drilling a hole in my airplane, man. Whoa, no. And I said, I'll be out there. I'm on my way out there right now. So I just laid back on the seat there, and I didn't say it loud. I didn't really know where Mike heard me. Now, he said he did later, but I just said, Lord, what should I say to that door? And I just leaned back, listening right in here. Just like that, I heard him. He said, say this, door open now. And I said it, door open now. And then, I don't mean I heard an audible voice.
Mm-hmm.
Mike didn't hear it until I said it.
Yeah.
But I heard it. When you practice this day and night and you continually inquire of the Lord and you act on what you get,
yeah.
you get at this to where you have a constant, a continual fellowship with the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And then he said, you remember in my word the scripture that says all things work together for the good of them that love God called according to his purpose? I said, yeah, I remember that. But now, Jeremy, I never in my life ever thought about that scripture being applied to stuff that works. That door's got all kinds of different parts in it. Mm-hmm. And in my training, in my type reading on that airplane, I had to know what's inside that door as well as other stuff, mm-hmm. how the system worked. I could just see all those parts in my mind. I never would have thought of using that way. I've used it a lot that way since, but not before that. I said, oh, Lord, I see it. He said, say that. I didn't add anything to it. I just said, all things work together for the good of them that love God, that'd be me, and are called according to his purpose, that would be me. Amen. Mm-hmm. Ding, 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 telephone. Mike Andy said, Dwayne wants to talk to you. Just about that amount of time. He said, I started to leave. He said, I got in the car to drive up to the fuel office up there to pick you up and take you back out to the airplane. We were parked pretty far out on the tarmac there. Mm-hmm. And... But he said, I stopped and I thought, I'm going to try that door one more time. And he said, I got out of the car and he said, Brother Kenneth, that door operated just as slick and good as it ever had. Yeah. I said, praise God, let's go home.
Yeah.
Now, isn't that something?
Sure.
Now, it would have been a really good opportunity to talk to that door for 20 or 30 minutes, throw every scripture I could think at the thing, not even inquire of the Lord, and blow my trumpet and everything else you could think of. But that ain't what God said to do. And you're not going to be heard for your much saying.
Yeah.
What the door's going to hear, what the angels are going to hear, and what heaven hears is what God says. And he'll tell you mm-hmm. what to say at that moment.
Yeah.
It may come as a strong inner witness and conviction. Like it did with me, it may come with exact words to say. It may come as a scripture reference. Go say that verse.
Yeah.
But it will come. Mm-hmm. Don't add to it. Don't take away. Speak it in faith and shut up your big mouth.
That's right.
Amen. That's when the trust starts. Yeah. Amen. Sometimes you may have to just slap your hand on it. No, shut up. Yeah. Don't go talking vain words. Mm-hmm. Stay with what you got.
Yeah.
Keep your mouth shut till you get it. Amen.
We believe the word, therefore we speak the word.
Yes, sir.
And nothing else.
And nothing else. Then and on the next trip, the devil tried to take it away from me. Mm-hmm. And I just said, no, you don't. No, you don't. The Lord has already spoken. No, the Lord didn't speak. You spoke. I'm his witness. Mm-hmm. I said what he said. They're his words. And he's the high priest of my confession.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Now, I'll tell you what we did do. I had the guys undo that door and lubricate everything, make sure everything's all in its right place and everything. That's not an act of unbelief. That's an act of maintenance.
Sure.
Amen. I didn't open it up to see.
Yeah.
Amen. And there were some things that showed up in different places around, and that's just good maintenance.
Sure.
But the important thing, faith begins where the will of God is known,
yeah.
where his word is known. We're out of time again.
That's all right.
Amen. Jeremy and I'll be back in just a moment.
Come to these exciting meetings. Join Kenneth Copeland for the Venezuela Victory Campaign in Maracaibo, Estado de Zulia, Venezuela, August 26th and 27th. Live at East Coast Faith Conference with Kenneth Copeland, Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher, and musical guests September 16th and 17th, Secaucus, New Jersey. Pastor Terry Pearsons will be at the Toronto Spirit-Led Prayer Conference September 28th through 30th, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. For more information, go to kcm.org.
Every Friday is offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. And today, that after what you've heard all week, this is the reason why. That this is the reason why God set this up for people to sow offering into ministries because of life. Now, you remember in the 5th chapter of Galatians, it talks about, excuse me, he said, walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He's talking about the Spirit and the flesh, life and death. Now, you come down here, it says the works of the flesh are manifest, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Now, that's what he's talking about here. Mm-hmm. And he flows right down into this 6th chapter, and he says, then let him that's taught in the Word respond to him that teaches in all good things. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap all this stuff that he listed over here. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life. All of those fruit of the Spirit are the forces of life. Mm-hmm. And when you are taught the Word, that's fine. It's in there. The seed of it is in there. But when you sow in response to what you've heard, that's when that Word takes root in your spirit, and the result is life.
Yeah.
And, you know, all this week we've been talking about this very same subject, sure. So that's what makes that so clear. So, you pray over, and you ask the Lord, inquire of Him, what would you have me sow into Brother Copeland's ministry, and what would you have me do in response to what I've heard? And then you be led of the Lord. Do what He says. Mm-hmm. Amen. Pray over it. We receive it, Father. We receive the direction, and we receive the offering, and then we release the force of increase out of our hearts and out of our lives, into the hearts and lives in everyone giving and sowing into this ministry. I'll tell you, the Venezuela Victory Campaign starts tonight.
Praise
God. Amen. Who be praying for a mighty move of God there? Hallelujah. Man, son, I'm telling you, this has been a good week.
Sir.
And we're going to have another one next week. So you remember to join Jerry and me. Give God the praise and the honor for it. And remember that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit kcm.org.